Katra Podcast Conversations, for the curious essential knowledge simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. Welcome, everyone.
When you think of Europe, what's the first image that pops into your head? Is it, you know, ancient Greece, the grandeur of Rome, maybe the Enlightenment, or that steady march of the Industrial Revolution, mostly across Western Europe?
Yeah, that's a pretty common picture. It's a powerful narrative, definitely familiar for a lot of us.
But what if I told you that story, that familiar narrative, is actually profoundly incomplete?
It really is. That widely accepted story, I mean, it hits some crucial moments, sure, but it carries some deeply ingrained biases.
Yeah, so.
Well, these biases, they subtly stop us, really, from seeing Europe for the incredibly complex and, frankly, diverse continent it truly is.
And that's exactly what we're digging into today. We're doing a deep dive into Norman Davies' huge work, Europe, a History.
Yeah, this isn't just, you know, another history book off the shelf. No, not at all. It's genuinely a revolutionary reevaluation. It fundamentally redefines how we've maybe been taught to understand an entire continent.
So our mission today for you is to really unpack Davies' central idea, how he fundamentally challenges that Western-centric view of European civilization.
Right.
He kind of pulls back the curtain, showing a far richer, much more interconnected and incredibly diverse continent, full of surprising influences from, well, everywhere.
And we're pulling all this together from a comprehensive summary of his groundbreaking research. We're aiming to distill the most powerful insights for you.
And why should you care? Well, this isn't just academic novelties.
Definitely not.
Getting to grips with Davies' work, it gives you this powerful new lens, a way to view history, current events, even, you know, your own understanding of identity.
Prepare to see Europe in a completely new light. Okay, let's unpack this a bit more then. When we usually picture European history, it often seems to revolve around just a few major Western powers, right? But Davies says, hold on, that narrative is fundamentally flawed. So what's the core of his critique? What's he really getting at?
Well, Davies' central argument, it's actually strikingly clear. He says traditional histories have systematically marginalized Eastern Europe, just sort of pushed it to the side.
Right, sidelined it.
Exactly. And doing that creates a distorted view, an incomplete understanding of the entire continent.
Okay.
The idea of Western civilization, it often gets presented as the whole story of Europe. But Davies shows, look, it's far from comprehensive.
So his goal?
His goal is to rectify this historical imbalance, to offer a truly panoramic view, one that stretches, you know, from the steppes of Russia all the way over to the Atlantic shores.
Why?
And in doing so, vividly illustrate that Europe's strength, its resilience, has always come from its incredible diversity and its constant knack for synthesizing different cultures.
That's such a powerful point. It makes me think back to my own history classes. I just accepted the Western version as the version, didn't even question what might be missing.
We all did, I think.
It really is like you said before, a whole storyline got chopped out of a movie, isn't it?
Precisely. You think you understand the plot, you recognize the main actors, but you're missing half the picture. Those vital connections, the motivations that actually shaped everything, you just don't get the full depth.
So who is Norman Davies? Who is this historian brave enough to, you know, challenge centuries of established thinking? What gives him the unique qualifications to rewrite Europe's story so profoundly?
Well, Davies is a distinguished British historian, born back in 1939. He got his doctorate from Oxford. And importantly, he spent decades deeply immersed in Polish and Eastern European history.
Ah, so that focus is absolutely crucial then.
It really is. It makes him one of the few Western historians with genuine deep expertise in a region that's, well, so often neglected in the mainstream stories we hear.
And his language skills. I gather he's fluent in Polish, Russian, German. That must be critical, right? To read the primary sources directly.
Oh, absolutely critical. It opens doors that many Western historians just can't access. It lets him bypass those traditional Western interpretations, see things differently.
Makes sense.
But, you know, his personal connection is just as significant. He's married to a Polish emigre. He's lived extensively in Poland. So that gives him this intimate cultural knowledge. It goes way beyond just academic study. And it's this combination, the scholarly rigor and the cultural sensitivity, that lets him bridge that gap between East and West perspectives. He can spot the blind spots in traditional accounts, offer a truly unique kind of view from the East.
Okay, so this book, Europe, a History, it's not just tweaking details. It's this ambitious, almost encyclopedic journey. What kind of scope are we really talking about here? How far back does he go?
Oh, it's genuinely monumental. Davies narrates the entire European story. He starts way back in prehistoric times and takes it all the way up to the late 20th century, right up to the collapse of communism.
So the whole sweep.
The whole sweep. And his ambition really is to democratize European history, to give equal weight to all regions, all their contributions.
Right, not just the usual suspect.
Exactly. He portrays Europe not as some static linear progression, but as this incredibly dynamic, constantly shifting, changing entity.
And what's really innovative about the structure and something that makes it so engaging for you, the listener, is how he weaves this huge story together.
Yeah, the structure's quite clever.
Alongside the main chronological chapters, he sprinkles in hundreds of these things he calls capsules.
Ah, yes, the capsules. They're fascinating.
They really are. These short, self-contained little stories. They might explore, I don't know, the origins of the fork.
Right, or the Cyrillic alphabet.
Or a specific philosopher, maybe less known in the West. It's brilliant because it lets you dive into these fascinating micro-histories.
Little deep dives within the deep dive?
Exactly. Without ever losing the thread of the main story, the macro-narrative, it just adds immense texture and depth.
And the sheer breadth of themes he covers is, well, it's all-encompassing. You've got the classical foundations, of course, but also the profound influence of the Byzantine Empire.
Which he sees as the true continuation of Rome. In the East.
Precisely. And then the so-called Dark Ages, which he reframes as more of an age of origins.
Interesting.
He gets into the East-West split in Christianity, the huge impact of Islam, the Renaissance, but looking way beyond just Italy, the Enlightenment across the whole continent, the rise of nationalism, a huge theme, and then, of course, the catastrophes of the 20th century.
And he looks at each topic from multiple viewpoints.
Yes, always trying to reveal Europe's true, often quite surprising, complexity, avoiding those simple, neat narratives.
Okay, this is where it gets really interesting for you listening. Davies isn't just giving us new facts. He's offering a completely new framework for understanding Europe. So what are some of those core themes that really stick out, the ones that fundamentally redefine the continent?
Well, connecting this to the bigger picture, I think one of the most powerful themes is Europe as cultural synthesis, not purity.
Okay, synthesis, not purity. What does that mean exactly?
Davies argues quite convincingly that Europe's strength, its dynamism, comes from this constant mixing of cultures. Think about Christianity blending with older pagan traditions,
right.
Significant Islamic influences, especially in science and philosophy, the vital role of Jewish communities throughout history, continuous migrations shaping everything.
So it directly challenges those narrow nationalist ideas of like cultural purity. Ideas we still hear today.
Absolutely. It provides a strong historical counterargument. Europe is mixing. Always has been.
That's a really compelling reframing. It kind of dismantles that almost mythological view some of us were taught. And building on that, he really hammers home the centrality of Eastern Europe.
Yes, this is crucial.
We often overlook vital examples, don't we? Like
the
Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth.
Huge. Once Europe's largest state. Known for incredible religious tolerance, unique political structures.
Things you rarely hear about in standard Western histories.
Exactly. Or the Byzantine Empire for 1,000 years. A bastion of learning, a massive influence on Slavic cultures. These weren't peripheral footnotes.
They were central players.
They were main chapters. Which, as you say, raises that important question, why are they so often left out of our collective memory? And another key theme flows from this. The fluidity and contingency of history.
Meaning things could have gone differently.
Precisely. Davies shows that Europe's boundaries, geographical, cultural, political, they've always been shifting, always in flux. History isn't some predetermined march towards a known endpoint.
Right, it's messy.
It's shaped by chance, by accident, by critical turning points that could have gone another way. Think about, say, how the Mongol invasions profoundly shaped Kiev von Rus' and the later development of Russia, send it down a very different path than Western Europe.
Which brings us, I suppose, to a really difficult truth he confronts, Europe's dual legacy.
Yes, this is tough but essential.
Davies unflinchingly shows us the continent that produced the Renaissance, the scientific revolution, Enlightenment ideals. These amazing peaks of human achievement.
Yeah.
Also gave birth to the Inquisition, the transatlantic slave trade, virulent racism, and totalitarian death camps like Auschwitz. How do we even begin to reconcile that paradox?
It forces us to question that easy narrative of simple progress, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Davis argues this capacity for both, you know, supreme creativity and utterly unparalleled destruction isn't really a contradiction. They're like two deeply intertwined currents running through European history.
That's sobering.
It is. But it's crucial for any real understanding of Europe's past, and maybe its present, too. It demands a more complex, more honest appraisal.
Davies has this remarkable knack for distilling complex ideas into these really powerful, sometimes quite provocative statements. Let's maybe look at a few of his most notable observations.
Sure. One of his most direct, most impactful statements is simply this. The history of Europe is not the history of the West.
Straight to the point.
Absolutely. It just encapsulates his core critique perfectly. He argues that mixing up those two concepts, Europe and the West, it largely came out of Cold War politics and even earlier imperial ways of thinking.
Not from historical reality itself.
Not really. So his point is about disentangling these deeply embedded assumptions we carry around.
Yeah, that challenges a lot of ingrained thinking. And another one I find really compelling, and it runs right through the book, is Europe's diversity is not its weakness, but its strength.
Yes, that's a very optimistic thread.
It really is. He shows how these cultural and political differences, far from just being sources of conflict, though they were that too, have often been the very wellsprings of Europe's greatest achievements, its creativity.
It offers a kind of hope, doesn't it? Especially for contemporary European integration efforts.
It does. It makes you wonder, how much have we been taught to fear diversity when history often shows its creative power?
Exactly. And related to that, he also observes, Christianity did not make Europe Christian. Europe made Christianity European.
Ooh, that's interesting. Unpack that a bit.
Well, what's fascinating here is how European societies didn't just passively receive Christian doctrine. They adapted it, they transformed it, they molded it to fit local conditions, local cultures, local needs.
I see.
So the way Christianity developed in, say, Ireland was different from how it developed in Poland or Spain. It reflects these deeper pre-existing cultural differences that persisted and continue to shape the continent in subtle ways.
Okay. And a vivid case study that seems to tie many of these themes together, especially in the 20th century, is his focus on the bloodlands of Eastern Europe.
Yes, the bloodlands. A term Timothy Snyder also uses, of course. Regions like Poland, Ukraine, Belarus, the Baltics.
Right. Areas that suffered unimaginably under both Nazi Germany and the Soviet Union.
Yes, uniquely caught between these two totalitarian nightmares. And highlighting this demonstrates the profound impact of these catastrophic events. But crucially, it also shows the centrality of these Eastern European experiences.
Experiences often overlooked in Western accounts of the world wars.
Completely. It underscores how much we miss, how skewed our understanding is when we narrow our historical gaze only to the West. It's about suffering, yes, but also resilience and reconstruction.
Okay, so let's bring this home. What does all this mean for us right now? How can this deep dive into Davies's work actually help you, the listener, navigate today's world, understand current events, maybe even your own place in it?
Well, I think, first off, Davies's work gives you an incredibly informed geopolitical perspective. Suddenly, you have a much deeper historical context for understanding contemporary events.
Like the war in Ukraine, for example.
Exactly. Or the specific politics playing out in Poland or Hungary. Or that really complex, often fraught relationship between Russia and the rest of Europe. You start seeing the centuries-old roots, the historical grievances, the cultural identities driving today's headlines. It goes beyond the surface-level news cycle.
That makes sense. It also equips you, doesn't it, with a powerful tool for challenging simplistic narratives.
Definitely. Davies's whole project actively counters those modern nationalist movements you sometimes hear, the ones claiming European identity is somehow threatened by immigration or cultural mixing.
Because he shows.
He shows, like, Europe has always been multicultural. Its history is a history of mixing. And that diversity has, more often than not, been a source of strength, not weakness.
So it encourages critical thinking, enhances your media literacy.
Absolutely. The book is like a masterclass in questioning the historical stories we're told. It prompts you to ask, whose story is this? Whose voice is missing? What are the potential biases in the information you consume every single day?
And finally, I suppose, it serves as a kind of warning from history, wouldn't you say?
A very powerful one. Davies' detailed account of how Europe descended into totalitarianism in the 20th century. It's chilling.
Yeah.
It shows how societies that considered themselves highly civilized could rapidly collapse when ideologies based on hatred, exclusion, and nationalism take root. That's a vital lesson for protecting democratic values today, everywhere.
So, Norman Davies. Ultimately, he provides us with this fundamentally transformed understanding of European civilization. You really do walk away with a reshaped mental map of the continent. You start seeing the East not as some kind of periphery or backward region, but as a vibrant, essential, integral part of the whole European story.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe the most valuable lesson, the thing that sticks with me, is that history isn't just a static set of facts in a book. It's an ongoing conversation, an interpretation.
Right.
And Davies forces us to ask ourselves, what histories are we implicitly creating or perhaps ignoring today
Yeah.
in our own time? What will future generations need to uncover about our narrative?
That's a great point. This deep dive really reveals that true understanding comes from embracing complexity, from being willing to question the stories we've always been told.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.